Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. This will be a bummer of a show. Just to set things straight from the beginning, we're going to talk about injuries. Now, this is something that has given the Seahawks major problems since last season on. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of the show, we'll do a quick intro. I'm Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast and do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer with a stranger who is, you know, risking his life to do this podcast today. Spike, you are doing a dangerous thing right now, recording from your car on the 405. How are you feeling right now?
I'm living my best life, bringing only the best of Seahawks content. Look, you can't just be a grad student and part-time podcaster and not put your body on the line. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it for you every day. Hopefully this sounds good for real. I'm trying out a couple different things as I am now going to be occasionally recording from the car as we do this. So if the sound is not good enough, please tweet at us. Please tweet at us as angrily as possible so that you hasten us correcting any audio issues that might arise.
Yeah, we thrive off your feedback, negative or positive.
Yeah. Well, and to be clear, we're always competing. And for us, competing sometimes means getting through traffic as quickly as possible. Sometimes it's being the most dangerous member of the growing and increasingly strong Locked On podcast network. So, you know, I think Locked On Seahawks is taking that crown today, and I'm proud. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Look, I'm always open to doing new and inventive things to set yourself apart, and if this is what it takes, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But I guess we should start. I'm going to start with Doug because, you know, we haven't talked about him a whole ton this offseason. He was talking to the media today, and he was talking about how, well, obviously yesterday it will come out today, about how he's at 80 or 85% right now, and you know he's not going to be 100% this season. It's always going to be a problem with his knee injury, and you know we've been operating under the assumption that you know Doug Baldwin's taking this time and they're just giving him a little extra cushion. He's going to be healthy for the regular season. He's going to add that more elite talent to this receiving group. And this is just a big blow. I know we were, you know, moving to be more optimistic about this receiving core given their performance this preseason, especially against the Vikings this past Friday. But, you know, losing a guy like Doug Baldwin when you already have a, sort of a talent-starved group in that receiver room, that's just, it sucks. I don't even know where to begin because, you know, we don't even know if Tyler Lockett's going to be fully healthy this season either.
Well, that's fair, but let's begin here. And longtime listeners of the Locked On Seahawks podcast will know that I suspected Doug Baldwin had something going on with his body in the second half of last year when he went from being the most effective slot receiver in the league to a very good but not great slot receiver. You saw his production decline. You saw his catch radius decline as last season went on. And that, like, it was obviously something that could be attributed to a lack of athleticism due to an injury. And I think what we're seeing is this is what Doug Baldwin is now. Doug Baldwin is a very good receiver, and only that because of the limitations of his body. And in some ways, that's sad because, hey, it was amazing when we had the best slot receiver in the league, and we don't. And apparently Doug Baldwin isn't willing to do what Julian Edelman is, which is cheat in order to be the best. So, you know, shots fired at Julian Edelman. But I'll also say this, that, like, this is why players decline very often. And Doug Baldwin's getting up there. Doug Baldwin's what, 29, 30? I mean, it could be so much worse. And we saw that with like half a dozen guys over the last year. We could be looking at a much worse decline. If Doug Baldwin is just very good, that's reasonable. That's what happens in the course of football careers. And it's a bummer, but like it's also good to like recalibrate our expectations and not either totally freak out or over project what he's going to do. If Doug Baldwin can be 85% of Doug Baldwin in, let's say, 14 of 16 games this year, he's going to be the most important offensive weapon on the Seahawks still, and that's going to be good. You know, is he going to be a game breaker? No, but we've talked about this. The game breaker in this offense is Russell Wilson, and, you know, he's going to have to be a little more accurate when he targets Doug Baldwin, but he's going to have to be more accurate anyway than he was down the stretch last year, just because we don't have those massive catch radius dudes on our team right now. So, you know, I on the one hand, this is scary, and on the one hand, it's sad. And it sucks to hear about another guy like that and hearing that he's in physical pain. Like, that's a bummer. Outside of the realm of football. But in terms of the impact on the Seahawks this year, it's there, but I'm not totally freaking out, even if this is not the news we wanted. What we wanted, of course, was, yes, he was a little hurt last year. He was at 85% down the stretch. Now he's 100% and he might be that forever. We didn't get that news today, and that's still – it's hard to take, even if, like me, you can rationalize it into something less devastating.
Yeah, and – in terms of potential impact on the roster, I think it even more solidifies David Moore's spot in making the team.
Yeah.
It might affect a guy like Keenan Reynolds' status on the team. It might affect Amaro Darboe's status on the team. But the guy that, obviously, I just said has the most impact on outside of Doug Baldwin is David Moore. I think that they're going to have to rely on, you know, more – looking for more talent, more upside, and I think that, you know, David Moore can
bring more talent.
Yeah, I realized that as I was saying it, and I just I couldn't abandon ship mid sentence.
That's why you're the best, Grant.
Yeah, but and even you can move Tyler Lockett a little more to the slot too if Doug Baldwin's getting a little too beat up and needs a game or two to rest. Lockett showed some capability to operate in the slot and be, you know, productive there. I just think that when it comes to the health of a player, and especially when he's getting into, you know, the late 20s, like 28, 29, and past his 30s, that just really starts to affect the way the team views them. And,
yeah,
which, you know, we're sad right now. Imagine, you know, in a year or two, if, you know, it gets worse and his production really starts to decline, think about his status on the Seahawks. And that's going to make you really sad.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go there yet because, if again, this is just like a reduced level of athleticism.
Yeah,
Doug's such a smart player that I feel like he's going to be able to maintain his production even with that little bit of reduced athleticism too. What I'm interested in roster-wise is if this is good for either Amaro Darboe, who you mentioned, or Brandon Marshall. And it sort of, for me, comes down to, can either of them play in the slot? You don't think of Marshall doing it, but he's a big body guy. And so it's like, well, can he, at an older age, sort of move inside the way, I mean, again, this is a very different player, but like the way Larry Fitzgerald did? Like, could he make that transition and be our backup slot receiver in a pinch? And if not, I feel like Darbo's got a more prototypical slot receiver body. Again, he hasn't done that for us. But the fact that we have to talk about who our number two slot guy might have to be is a bummer when, you know, we were hearing, and again, like, everything Pete had been saying had been really positive around Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
And then we hear it from Doug. And look, Doug and Pete couldn't have more opposite outlooks on life. One is angry Doug Baldwin. One is lying, happy Pete Carroll. You know, like Doug Baldwin tells it like it is. Pete Carroll tells it like he wants it to be. So, you know, we've also got to take that into account, that there's a fundamental discrepancy in how they're going to describe any injuries. So, I don't know. I mean, like, this sucks, but it could, I don't know.
This is all being said without having watched him play a down of football in a few months.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what 85% of Doug Baldwin looks like come week one or come week two, whenever he steps on the field. I think it's a circumstance of this offseason and what, given what happened last year, that my brain just immediately goes to, all right, well, you know, Cliff Averill couldn't play football. It wasn't a team decision, but it was his decision. And they moved on from Michael Bennett. They moved on from Richard Sherman. And so That's just that was in the back of my mind. Obviously, you know, I think that he's still going to be a great contributor to the team. Like you said, he's the most important weapon that the Seahawks have. He's the most proven weapon. I mean, obviously, if we're going to count actual weapons from like the offense, Russell Wilson is by far the most dynamic playmaker they have. But you know, when it comes to, you know, outside of him, he's their most consistent guy. He's always on the field. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Doug Baldwin angrily grew, like, another leg to replace the one that's giving him trouble right now, just out of spite for not being able to play this whole preseason.
Yeah, I think it's a great note to end this conversation on. And we're going to learn so much more so quickly.
Yeah, yeah, it's all going to depend on what happens on the field. But we're going to talk about some more injury news once we get back from this break. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. Spike, do you want the good news or bad news first?
I don't know what the good news could possibly be, so give me the bad news first.
KJ Wright might miss some time. He had a knee scope after the Vikings game where he didn't, in the words of Pete Carroll, he didn't have an episode. There wasn't a real point where his injury happened, but he left the game feeling funny, and he might miss some time given the very minor procedure that he's had just to go in there and check it out. And so this... I mean, we talked about the importance of depth, especially at linebacker, where the starters are strong, but, you know, you look behind them and you have a lot of unproven guys and really a mixed bag, whether, you know, a lot of them are going to make the team. And so you immediately put KJ on the bench, and the good news would have been we're going to see Shaquem Griffin play a lot more. I mean... That's the biggest takeaway for me. He's going to have a lot of playing time, and he's going to have a lot of opportunity to showcase, you know, his speed, his pursuit. But there's also going to be the time where he has to adjust, and he's going to look really raw. And sometimes he's, you know, not going to look like he knows what he's doing out there. And that's okay for a rookie player, but it's just not all going to be happy times for Shaquem like it was in this offseason where he was drafted, which was a great story.
Yeah,
and I'm sort of escaping the point of KJ's injury by shifting the conversation. But tell me, you know, like especially with a player like KJ who's, you know, going to be up for an extension and, you know, needs to play really well, getting up there in age, and, you know, adding another injury to the history is not beneficial to him.
I mean, it's not. I mean, look, Seahawks were already down 6 Pro Bowlers from their opening day defense this time last year. Now let's make it 7. Like, this is, at a certain point, what I'm actually weirdly, and we, you know, this came up in the Doug Baldwin conversation, I'm weirdly optimistic about the offense. I think Russ is due for a bounce back year. I think the offensive line will be stronger. I think the weapons will be frisky. I think the running game will be fine. I think the offense is going to be okay. This team is really banked on defense for the entirety of Pete Carroll's tenure with the team. And, like, we are down 7 Pro Bowl to Hall of Fame caliber starters from where we were last year. And Freddie Clark hyperextended his elbow, too. So we might be down an 8th. I mean, like, this is crazy. Like, and for KJ, like, Shaquem was obviously the long-term solution there, and it was reasonable to expect that Shaquem might be starting at this time next year. And everything I know about Shaquem Griffin suggests he's going to be able to step in and play early. I mean, Keel was able to do it last year, and we know that what Shaquem brings, his two biggest assets, one of them is speed, that you can't teach, that doesn't go away. The other are his instincts. And even though he was a little bit of a, you know, running around, little willy-nilly in some of this preseason action, he knows where the ball is. He knows how to get there already. So, you know, we might lose a little bit in terms of KJ's screen-killing dominance, but Shaquem's going to give us large percentage. But at a certain point, even if all these young guys are giving us a large percentage of the guys they're replacing, we're still down some percentage, and we're down that at so many spots. I'm just very worried about this defense. I mean, then you throw in Tedrick Thompson having two separate injuries, safety positions back to being completely unsettled. I'm worried, Grant. I'm worried about the defense. I'm worried. I don't know how else to put it. I'm nervous.
I think, too, the national perception is going to be pretty rough. Obviously, there's going to be a little bit of... Well, I don't know if a little bit is the right way to call it, but there's going to be a decline from the defenses of the past, last year's defense, and it's going to look, you know, even more drastic now with KJ's absence. You know, just having a Pro Bowl level guy out there in your defense, holding things down, attacking the ball on screens, playing okay tight end coverage, most of the time good tight end coverage, and I think that it's going to be an adjustment period that's going to take a little bit of time to get used to. One thing that's really beneficial for Shakeem that his brother had almost the same opportunity with All-Pro guys, Pro Bowl level guys in the room with him every day, and you know, showing him the ropes, showing him what it takes to learn the nuances and things to shift the game, impact the game. Shaquille had that with Richard Sherman and the defensive backs group. You know, Earl Thomas is in there, Cam Chancellor's in there. You get a guy like Byron Maxwell in there later on in the season. And so you have a guy like Shakeem who's in that room with Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright. And so, when you have those kind of guys who are, in the rookie meetings with you, making sure that you're an active participant and learning everything you can learn, that bodes well for his development. When you focus on the mental aspect of the game and, being mentally ready and prepared, Shakeem's already physically got it. Being mentally there and, locked in and knowing what it takes to, win these games, that goes a long way, especially for a young player and a young player who a lot of people didn't think that was going to make it. And so when you have that chip on your shoulder and you know what to do in the game and you're physically able to do it, that's a good player, waiting to happen. And I think that a lot of people are going to be, very supportive of Shakeem either way, given the circumstances, but I think we're going to see a legitimately good player. It's just not going to be that super consistent level that KJ Wright has brought over the past few years.
When you were saying what is going to be a really big benefit for Shakeem Griffin, and I'm going to throw one out there, Michael Dixon, baby. When we back teams up an extra 15, 20 yards of drive, we can blow one screen pass coverage, give them back those 15 yards, and then we bend but don't break. So we're going to be fine. The defense, I'm panicking about the defense. I keep forgetting we've got Michael Dixon. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, with the room for error getting larger, it's going to make the defense, watching the defense, a little bit more bearable. Shout out to Michael Dixon for existing.
Everybody check out the Punt Forever Pyramid. I can't emphasize enough. Punt to win. Punt every day. Punt every down. No running. No passing. Just punting.
And with that, we're going to punt to the last segment of today's show. So stay tuned for the end of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome to the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You're with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And if you guys didn't see already, wide receiver Tanner McAvoy was cut from the team this week.
No!
No! Oh, no. But, he was cut. He was, I think was in a move to make sure he lands somewhere else. I don't think that this was unexpected, and it's probably best for the team, best for McAvoy that this happened. What we're transitioning into is this fourth preseason game where we're gonna find out, we're gonna discuss which guys have the most to prove in this game to make this roster and to not end up like Tanner McAvoy. And so I'll give the microphone to you, Spike, and I'm going to hear your first guide with the most to prove to make this roster heading into this fourth preseason game.
Well, there have been a bunch of guys who aren't getting on the field who are maybe on the fringe of the roster and would have been on the inside looking out if they had had a full preseason, but might get cut, might get shadow rostered. And a big one for me is beloved hero of the podcast, Nico Thorpe. And ooh, some of that, I know, right? I hate this. But, like, some of it comes down to, yeah, we got a guy like Shaquem Griffin in there. So the gunner role, you know, we've got more guys who could gun on this team. And cornerback is still a question mark. We know Shaquem Griffin and Justin Coleman are going to be starting. But that last slot is a question mark. We don't know who's going to own it. And Nico Thorpe not really being able to do much this preseason put him in a position where he hasn't shown that not only can he not own it, but he hasn't shown that he could hold it down if needed to. And I don't think we have the cornerback depth such that we can have a cornerback who's exclusively a special teams guy. That's a luxury that I don't know that we have anymore with our current roster construction. So for me, Nico Thorpe, I don't know his health status. I don't know if he's going to play snaps, but I think he needs to show that he could get in there and play some snaps because, I mean, look, Byron Maxwell and Trey Flowers are ahead of him right now, and that's the edge of the roster right there. And so, you know, I want him to do it. I want him to go out there, play some decent coverage, and show that he can still hold down a spot on this roster because his impact on special teams. I mean, you combine Nico Thorpe and Michael Dixon, game over, baby. Game over. So, you know, we want him, but is he a luxury we can still afford? I don't know.
Yeah, and it might, you know, keeping him on the roster might keep another special team off the roster like DJ Alexander. So,
you know, I know. You think DJ Alexander's going to make the roster? I don't know that he will. Although with the – well – and I think, could he play for KJ Wright, or is this going to help Austin Calitro in that we need more middle linebacker depth? Well, it's an interesting question.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I almost picked Calitro as a guy with a lot to prove because he played well in the first game. He played well in the third game, but second game, consistency wasn't there. Yeah, he was bad. And so, you know, he has something to prove, but I'm going to keep it in the secondary, and I'm going to go with Mike Tyson. Because, you know, with an injury to Tedrick Thompson and really shaky play from Delano Hill, Maurice Alexander hasn't gotten out there a ton, but you'd assume he makes the roster given that they signed him this offseason. He's got to fight for this roster spot. He has to go out there, and he's probably going to play a lot, and we can't afford him to have any penalties like we did in one game this season, in this preseason. And he's going to go out there, and he's going to need to have consistent tackling, consistent coverage, and, you know, be sort of a safety blanket, for a lack of better terms, for these young, inexperienced corners that are going to get a lot of playing time in this fourth preseason game. And so when you have such uncertainty with the safety position already, you don't know when Earl Thomas is going to report, Tedrick Thompson's going through what he's going through, and so you need security, you need depth, and this is the perfect opportunity for a guy like Mike Tyson to go out there and ball out. I think that, you know, he's going to have the opportunity because it's against guys trying to make the roster, and he's had some time on the team already. And so I think that if there's a week for him to do it, it's this week.
Yeah, man, this safety position situation is just such a massive self-own. Like, you know what would be a really good duo of safeties? Would be Bradley McDougal and Earl Thomas. Like, what are we doing? This is insane. Like, there's been no visible movement on this at all. And, you know, we're hearing whispers out of Rams camp that Aaron Donald's going to sign any second now. And meanwhile, we're not hearing a goddamn word about it. I'm sorry. This is – it's beyond stupid.
The only thing we're seeing is Earl Thomas workout thirst traps on Instagram.
Yeah. All we're seeing is Earl Thomas is still ready to play safety.
Yeah.
He's willing to play safety if we pay him like he's the league's best safety. And you know what? He's the league's best safety. And I know, like, look, teams have gotten bitten on these – like, I get it. But at the same time, like, if we're not doing this, move on then. Like, this is just such a massive cell phone leaving this, like – awkward question mark in the back end of our team in what had been the strongest aspect of the team since Earl Thomas was drafted. I don't know.
And here's the thing. I have a couple things, actually. One, you know, it could be sort of the Seahawks being scared after this Cam Chancellor contract situation and his injury, but they're not the same player. It's not the same position. It's different playing styles. don't worry about that, Seahawks. Second, you have, talk of people being like, oh, well, no, he's not with the team. It's different working out with the team and being ready in that sense rather than working out on your own. If you think that Earl Thomas is not going to be ready or he's not preparing the right way, then you have not followed Earl Thomas at any stage of his career. He is, yeah. We've talked about it before, he's the most locked in, intense player on the field at all times. I describe his playstyle as the way Marshawn Lynch runs, but just in everything he does. And yeah. that's probably an understatement. And so I don't expect to see anybody questioning, the work he's doing or his work ethic. I just need to see him get paid by the Seattle Seahawks to play football. And that this is going to, a lot of the problems presented in the safety position right now, because you have the security of having Earl in the defensive backfield. It allows you to shift Bradley McDougald over to strong safety, so you don't have to worry about putting Delano Hill out there. And so, oh my gosh, I'm going to stop talking about it because go ahead.
I was just going to say, there are few players in the league outside of the quarterback position where you can say this guy missing games will cost his team wins. There just aren't that many guys where you can take one guy out where they are the linchpin in that regard. Earl Thomas is that guy. We've seen it multiple times. He's on the field. We're not good. Stats are bad. We lose games. Like, this isn't something we don't know. We know this. Nobody knows this better than Pete Carroll. So it's just baffling that we're putting ourselves in this situation. There, I get, again, I didn't like the moves, but, you get rid of Michael Bennett. Okay, that's fine. We got Michael Bennett. We found a Michael Bennett. We can find another Michael Bennett. You move on from Richard Sherman. He had an Achilles injury. That's the sort of thing that can really hurt a cornerback. I get not wanting to take that gamble. Okay, Earl Thomas isn't either of those things. He's not hurt, and he's irreplaceable. So, stop trying to replace him with Tedrick Thompson and, anybody. The fact that we're talking about Mo Alexander and Mike Tyson as this season rolls in, that's the kind of conversation that fans of 5 or 6 win teams have. That's not the kind of conversation that fans of 9 or 10 win teams have, which is what we think the Seahawks team could be if everything breaks right. We are intentionally breaking things wrong by not putting Earl Thomas into our team right now by paying him money.
Pay
him Paul Allen's money. God.
Paul Allen has so much money.
So much money.
This shouldn't even be a conversation. One last point before we move away from this and end the show. I mentioned the Cam Chancellor thing. There's been examples of Earl Thomas being on the field without Cam Chancellor and the team being fine. When it was the other way around, it was the complete opposite thing. If my argument needed any more support. So I think on that end, on that note, pay Earl Thomas, and your team will be a lot better. So that's free advice from the Locked On Seahawks podcast. Whew. Okay. So I think that does it for today's show. It was a bit of a bummer. Just the topics were a bummer. Hopefully you enjoyed the content that one of us risked our lives to bring you. It's the most dangerous premier Seahawks podcast on the internet. So.
I am still on the 405. That entire podcast recording did not get me off of the same road. LA, baby! LA traffic. Yeah. Hey.
All right, but make sure if you're listening to this podcast, whether you're in traffic like Spike or you're at home like me, go to iTunes when you have the opportunity where it's safe, and give us a 5-star review. It's greatly appreciated. Make sure you listen to the whole Locked On NFL or Locked On Podcast Network. If you have interest in any of the teams or any topics, Locked On NFL has a great, great lineup of guests every week. And so it's a great opportunity to learn a lot more about the league. So take advantage of that. And also, if you are a business owner or know a business owner that would like to advertise with this podcast, please reach out to us, either me or Spike, and we'd be extremely happy to talk to you about potential opportunities to be featured on this podcast. So that's it for me. Spike, do you have anything to add?
Nope.
All right. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, driving into the sunset.